Welcome everybody to the 10th episode of Various Sports Talk Show. I am your host, Kareem Rodriguez, and I am actually pretty happy I've kept this going for 10 episodes. I thought by now it would have fell down. I would have stopped doing this, but I've reached the 10 episodes, and I am extremely happy with that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for putting the word out there. Some people out there have been showing support, saying, hey, listen to his podcast or whatever. Thank you guys so much. You guys mean a lot to me and this show. So what we have on tap for today, for the weekend, actually, today is Monday. We have a couple Shark game recaps, including the Detroit game that I didn't get to cover on my last podcast due to certain stuff. I'm not gonna go into that again. And then we have a couple Golden State War recap games. And then, you know, before we even do the previews, we're gonna go into a little bit of spring training, what's been going on for the A's, what's been going on for the Giants. Some key stuff's been going on there. And then we're going to give it some Golden State Wars and some Sharks previews for the week. Both games should be great. So let's get right to it with the Sharks game recap. So the Sharks, let's go with the Detroit game. So on Friday, the Sharks faced the Thursday. The Sharks faced the Detroit Red Wings in San Jose. It was Niemi versus Gustavsson. And Gustavsson was given his first start of his NHL career. So, but it was good news to see that Irwin was still on the team, still on the roster, as Klo was making his first start coming off of his suspension from the hit. So, not just from the hit, but from the fight against Chicago. So, first period, nothing really happened. There was only one penalty for the Sharks and none for Detroit. Shots on goal were 11-90 Detroit, and score was still 0-0. And anyone know what happened in the second period? Complete nothing. Just nothing happened in the second period. Penalties went 1-1 Detroit San Jose. Shots on goal went 6-7. San Jose got that, and then score was still 0-0. Third period, finally, 5 minutes into the third period, Logan Couture scores, making it a 1-0 game off of turnover. You got the assist from Thornton, like always. But then, later on in the game, about 2 minutes left, actually, 2 minutes later, actually, Tatar scores, making it a 1-1 game against the San Jose Sharks, and we are tied. Okay, guys, you already know where this is going. I mean, it's a tie game in San Jose for San Jose Sharks. You already know where this is going, right? Shootout? Yeah, fuck yeah, I was going to a shootout. So, the pressure is being added by both teams late in the games, but in the game almost was gone due to a loose puck in front of Niemi, but thank God Niemi blocked it. They, 2-2 tried to make a shot on it, but Niemi blocked it. Game goes to overtime, a lot of chances, but it goes to a shootout. Nothing happened in overtime. Just shot the goal, 3-1, Detroit. So to go overtime, and not overtime, but shootout, and it's Hanzus, Patrick Marleau, and Klo for the first three, and they moved Patrick Marleau to the second spot and not even putting Pavelski in there. That was sort of befuddling me. That was sort of befuddling everyone else, is why don't you put Pavelski out there? He's been pretty good in the shootouts recently. So Hanzus tries it, misses. The Datsu comes up for Detroit. He tries to shoot it, and it gets saved by Niemi. Then Patrick Marleau comes up. He tries to shoot it, and he's saved by Gustavsson. But then here comes Broomer, and sure enough, he makes it a 1-0 shootout lead for the Detroit Red Wings, making it impossible for the Sharks to come back. And Klo, the game is in Klo's hand. He misses it. The game is over. The Sharks lose. And sure enough, Klo misses it, doesn't even hit the goal, doesn't even hit Gustavsson, and the game goes as 2-1 San Jose Sharks lose. So, you know, I marked that as a key game. I was sort of disappointed. I was expecting more from the Sharks, honestly, because I thought going into that game, there was no way, especially with Gustavsson being his first game as a starter, everything, that the Sharks should easily just beat up the Detroit Red Wings, but somehow, some way, we never find a way. And you know, and I might get into this later into the game, But not later in this program. Actually, no, I should probably get into this now. People have been pushing the panic button on the Sound of the Sharks, are saying that Doug Wilson is driving this team to the ground, and we fucking suck, and the Sharks are gonna lose. And we're not gonna go to the playoffs. And you know, yeah, okay, we had a long losing game stretch in the plan, but if we could start from here and just keep on going and start winning some games, there's no doubt we're going to be in the playoffs. We're not going to be the fucking first seed or the second seed or the third seed like we usually are every freaking year in the past 5 years. But just the thought of us being in the playoffs should make you guys Shark fans happy, because we have a chance to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Note the fact that the last year who won the Stanley Cup playoffs was the LA Kings, and they were ranked 8th seed. So it doesn't matter where we are ranked in the playoffs. It just matters who's hot at the end of the season. And if the Sharks get hot in the end of the season and be in the playoffs, people should worry about us. So I'm not pushing a panic button on the Sharks, but I am pushing a panic button on a certain team that I'll be getting to later. Gee, I wonder who I'll be talking to. There's only two teams playing in the Bay Area right now, so please don't think about it too hardly. So then also, on Saturday night, the Sharks also faced the Nashville Predators in San Jose in a homestand, a two-game homestand. And look forward to go back on the road, yay. So the first period, the Sharks won a power play. And sure enough, Dan Boyle scores his third goal on a power play. Guys, these guys just give the Sharks a round of applause. We scored a power play goal. Who's seen that in like the long... I haven't seen a Sharks playoff power play goal in a long-ass time. That's just me. So they scored a third, Boyle scored the third goal, making a power play goal, going 1-0. San Jose takes the lead. It was also, if you didn't know, it was Niemi versus Pekarinen. It's always going to be Pekarinen. Penalties, Nashville. This is one thing I liked about the Sharks, is that this whole game, that they didn't have as many penalties as they usually do. They only, the whole game, had one penalty, while Nashville had four. So that's good. That's good defensively, that you're not taking stupid penalties and you're not putting Nashville in the position where they have a power play chance to score a goal. So that's smart thinking on the Sharks, and if they can keep doing that, especially in the next game, then there's no doubt we can start winning some games. Shots on goal went 16-6 on San Jose. So that's also the thing I saw too, is a lot of shots on goals. It was tremendous, and we'll get more into that later. Second period, guys, this is like the twilight zone, because you know what? The Sharks scored a second power play goal. Two power play goals in a game from the Sharks, thanks to Joe Pavelski getting the seventh goal of the season, making that a 2-0 Sharks game. And you're sitting there thinking, okay, this isn't the Sharks we're usually used to, because it goes into a power play, we usually screw up something. We're scoring two power play goals against a goalie we always go to overtime against, or we always go to a shootout against. So what the hell is going on? This, guys, is what I call a good team. This is a team that we're used to seeing. And if the Sharks could keep on playing like this, especially in the next game against Vancouver, there's no panic button needed to be pressed. This team is good the way it is. That's how I see it. Now, if we lose another seven games, okay, I'll be pushing the panic button. But we haven't. We've won games here and there. We're not going to go. Everyone, I think honestly, some fans, other Sharks fans, are spoiled by the fact that we had that seven game win streak, and we're like, we should win every fucking game that's possible. We should win every game that's possible. Some teams are lucky to win every game that's possible, aka the Chicago Blackhawks. But not every team is going to be as great as the Sharks were the first seven games. So, yeah, we're going to lose games here and there. We're going to win games here and there. We're going to look shitty here and there. And we're going to look good here and there. It's called life. Just deal with how the team is right now. I'm not pushing the panic button on the fire Todd McKellen. I'm not pushing the panic button on to get rid of anyone right now. All right? This is how I see it. This is how I see it. And I think that the Sharks are fine the way you are. You know, if the Sharks end up screwing it up later and don't make the playoffs, I want someone to play me back this clip, and I will personally say, I'm sorry, I'm a freaking retard. But as I say right now, Sharks still make the playoffs, and there's no panic button for me to be pressed. Other than that, third period, Worker scores on a breakaway, making it 2-1, a shorthanded goal to top all off. for the Nashville Predators, but it wasn't really Niemi's fault. I'll put that out again because the puck was just it went past Erwin, and Nebo was just screwed from there. He was like, okay, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? He had no choice but to make a stop for it first before Borquet just turned it around and just put it back in the back of the net. So there was no need for Niemi to be screwed. But other than that, penalties went 1-0 in Nashville. Nashville had 7 shots on goal. San Jose had 9. Score was 2-1. San Jose won. They win, and they are going to go into the road trip on a winning streak of 1 game. So, as Sharks are standing right now, they are 1 point above Detroit and the 5th of the Western Conference, while they are tied also for 4th with St. Louis. So, so the Sharks are a good thing. If the Sharks next game, I'll get into that later. That's my recap. The Sharks play Tuesday in Vancouver. Let's get into the Warriors now. This is a team I'm talking about pushing the panic button on, because yes, the Warriors do play the next 17 of the last 22 games at home, but the way they are playing right now, they're just giving everyone else the chance. They're giving Memphis, they're giving Denver the chance in the world to keep pushing on forward and just leave the Warriors where they are at right now and in sixth place. And you know, the Warriors, in my opinion, are a team that should be in fifth place or fourth place. But the way they're playing right now, yeah, they deserve to be in sixth and seventh place. But I'm not really happy about it. Am I happy about it? Hell no. So let's get right into it. The Warriors played Boston on Friday, going against a non-Rajon Rondo team. Warriors lost 86-91 against Boston. Shooting-wise, scoring-wise, it went 31-20 first quarter, Boston. There you go again. With the team having a good start against the Warriors, ended up keeping that going to take the win. That's the pattern I've been seeing. Wait till you get to the next game, then I'm sort of befuddled again. So the next game, it goes 26-19. Next period goes 26-19 Warriors, 19-16 Boston, and 25-24 Boston. So Boston got a 3-1 advantage against the Warriors in quarter-wise. And it was another battle, like I said, to loss. Pierce had, it isn't really, I never really mentioned the weight team stats, but this is pretty good. This is like pretty much a stat I should have brought up. Is Paul Pierce had 26 points, and the Celtics were on a 7-game winning streak at the TD Garden, and now they made it 8 straight, so the Warriors were just asking for it. They needed to have a good game, a good start. Maybe Curry drop another 54 points. Curry had 25 points, but went only 6 for 22, so, you know, bad shooting there from Curry, and no one really on the Warriors could pick up for his slack on shooting-wise. And then against also, too, ever since the Spurs game, Jared Jack has been nowhere to be found. From what I've been seeing, he has not been the sixth man guy I've been seeing that he drops 20, 30 points a game. You know, he's dropping 7, maybe 13 points a game, and it's worrying. I'm like, where's Jared Jack? This is the Jared Jack that we're used to, is it not? If you guys tell me that this is the Jared Jack we're used to, tell me now, and then I'll probably stop. But I'm used to the Jared Jack that just drops buckets like it's nothing, especially the Spurs game. And I haven't seen that in this game or in the 76ers game. So now the Warriors drop 3 straight, and then they go on the next day and go to the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia. They face the 76ers and end up losing that game. That was a tight game. That game was on NBA TV if you haven't watched it. But that was a tight game in my opinion. But they lose 97-104. So this is the thing I was telling you about. So, I mean, here's my philosophy. Here's how I see it. If the Warriors have a good start in the first quarter, at least score the other team in another quarter, maybe two quarters. That's how you get the win. But the way this is how it goes. So 31-20, the Warriors got the first quarter. Okay, that's a good start. That's the Warriors that I've been saying that they need to be doing. Okay, listen to this. 31-23 in the second period. All right, we still have another half. We're good. 31-27 in the third quarter. Okay, this is not really what I was talking about, guys. 22-16 in the fourth quarter. So Philadelphia got 3-1 against the Warriors, even though the Warriors got a good start in the first quarter, and that was not really my that's not really what I was saying. I'm saying that the Warriors need to have a good start, but also keep it up during the rest of the game, not be outscored, outshoot by the other team in the next three periods. So, but they finally had a good start, but they couldn't really put out all the game. Curry and Klay came together with 59 points. Curry had 30, Klay had 29. So, and the backcourt is doing good, shooting guard and point guard wise. So, that's Klay Thompson VC on and off every time. The 76ers, but here's the thing that killed the Warriors, especially in the second quarter, is that the 76ers went 12-18 from behind the arc, and the Warriors were just letting them drop threes like it was nothing. They were just like, okay, whatever, just keep dropping it. So that's how the 76ers had as a lead as they did have, maybe, especially in the second quarter, going 31-23 against the Warriors. But good news is the Golden State Warriors play the next seven games at home, like I mentioned, and no, maybe this is a good start for the Warriors. Maybe they're like, hey, we're home now. Don't worry, guys. We got this. So, I'm still pushing the panic button. Because the team, that the way they're playing right now, especially this late in the season, you can't just lose games like this against teams up there who are like the Denver Nuggets or the Clippers or the Grizzlies. You can't lose a game like that. And you also have the Rockets and the Jazz on your ass like it's nothing. Also, too, the LA Lakers are there just waiting for you to drop. So, you never know. You want to keep that good lead. All right, so before we get to the game previews of the week, let's talk a little spring training, shall we? Giants and A's-wise. Let's go through some key notes. We'll start with the A's. I started with the Giants last time on my spring training show, so let's start with the A's this time. Key notes for the A's. The starters are starting off well from what I'm seeing. We have Griffin, AJ Griffin, and Dan Straley, and Jerry Parker and Tommy Malone. Not so much Bartolo Colon, but Bartolo Colon's been a little bit off his first start coming off suspension. Maybe it's because he's not on steroids anymore. I don't know. Anderson was also named later this week as the opening day starter against Seattle on April 1st in Oakland, California. If you haven't bought your tickets, buy your tickets now. It's going to be a crazy night. Especially since coming off the AL West Championship and everything. Yeah, Oakland Coliseum will be packing. And I'm for sure, with Anderson being on the mound, and we have the defense the way we have, there's no doubt we break the opening night curse, and we actually beat the Seattle Mariners and Felix Hernandez for the first time in a long time. And also, too, what I'm seeing is been coming out is Jamal Weeks and Michael Choice have been on. They're leading the team really in hits, I believe, and they are going. They're doing pretty good, to be honest. Weeks looks like a different version of them. He doesn't look like the small, scrawny Jamal Weeks that we're used to. He still looks small and scrawny, but he just looks like he has a different approach to the game. And, you know, I think over the offseason he said, you know, it's also to the point that the A's didn't even offer me a roster spot on the 50-man roster. So, well, no, I think no. He was on the 50-man roster. He just wasn't part of the playoff roster. So, I mean, I think that's what sort of ticking his head. He's like, I need to do something. Especially with the second base situations they're having right now, that they don't know what they're doing, that they don't know if they're gonna put Jed Lowrie starting there or what's gonna be going on. So, I think Weeks wants to be the backup to that. So I think Weeks is coming in there with like just like saying, you know, screw this, I'm doing this my way. And also too, Michael Choice, you know, he's there's no doubt when they released his top 50 prospects that Michael Choice is number one for the Oakland A's, just the way he's playing right now in spring training. And I think he'll start in Sacramento, but later on this year he'll be called up to play some center field. Play some right field, maybe. I don't know. Play some DH for the A's, but I think that Michael Choice is something you guys, is all A's fans should be happy to see coming up, along with Sonny Gray. And also, too, guys, just for the A's and Giants fans, this is for both of you guys. When we face each other with the A's and the Giants, there's one thing you guys need to remember about. If the Giants win, And Giants fans are bragging that they won and laughing at the A's because of the score. Giants fans, remember this. It's spring training. You know, I mean, it's like preseason. It's like saying, ha! The Raiders beat the fucking Seahawks in fucking preseason. Like, no one cares about preseason. So, I mean, yeah, it was 13-9 against the A's. It's pretty funny, but come on out. There's no need to smack talk saying the Giants are already off to a better start than the A's when, honestly, it's just spring training. When you have fucking shitty-ass pitchers out there who aren't even going to be on the team anymore starting the game for you guys. So, I mean, come on. If it was a real game, then you guys can talk. But if it's just spring training, just be quiet. Remember, A's face the Giants, I think, in May or in June. So that's when you guys can talk shit. Key out for the Giants. Lincecum missed his latest start due to a splinter on his hand. So that was something. Also, Matt Cain took a ball off the knee. So everyone was all questioning him, but he's been fine. Pablo also left spring training just a while ago with a home run. So I think Pablo Sandoval has become into midseason form right now. And he's obviously leaving the spring training to go to the World Baseball Classic, but no, that'd be good, along with half of your team, except for Andres Torres, who has withdrawn from the World Baseball Classic due to a oblique strain, and also to Tanaka, the infielder, the Japanese infielder for San Francisco Giants. It's also coming along great, you know, after having that long hitless streak that he's been having. I think he's gotten the feel for spring training, and he knows how to play, you know, how to react and do shit. So, well, Giants fans should be looking forward to Tanaka and should be looking forward to the good season that they're about to have, unless the Dodgers, for some godly reason, come out of nowhere with their big roster. So let's go to some game previews. This will be short. Let's go to some Warrior previews. Warriors play Monday night in Oracle against the Toronto Raptors, a new look Toronto Raptors, not the Toronto Raptors we can just beat up on easily. And also too, Wednesday night in Oracle against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors need to start winning games in order to make the playoffs, that's my opinion. But luckily they close the season now with 16 home games, like I mentioned before. But here's the thing, this week is gonna be very tough because this Toronto team is a little bit harder to play against, especially Rudy Gay on the team. And also too, on Wednesday night against Sacramento, we've always had a bad luck against Sacramento for some godly reason this whole season, losing the past two games against them, I believe. And I think that especially since we're back home, I think the Warriors should be fine against the Kings, but you never know. The Kings have always been this team that the Warriors can beat somehow, but they could beat the Heat and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And so, as the standings says right now, as Monday, Golden State Warriors are 12.5 games back from first place, and they're in sixth place. Let's say they're in 60, but Utah is one game behind Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. God damn it. The Houston Rockets are 1.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors from sixth place. So the Warriors are 1.5 games basically from eighth place. So they need to start winning some games to get up and more into the playoffs and get them more into the seeds, the division ranking. So, San Jose game previews. Sharks played back-to-back games this week, Tuesday at Vancouver and Wednesday at Calgary. So they stay in the maple syrup country of Canada for two games. The Sharks have beaten both teams 4-1. Last time they faced, but man, I don't know if you guys remember the Sharks game against Vancouver was the game that Ryan Klug got basically kicked out the whole game, had that many penalty minutes for fights and stuff like that. And, but yeah, I think if the Sharks could play like the way they did against Vancouver and San Jose, then there's no doubt the Sharks could beat Vancouver. But the only problem is that they have is that they're playing them in Vancouver. And Vancouver at their home arena is a very hard team to beat. Last game Vancouver played was 5-2 against the LA Kings. They gave them a big whooping. And San Jose also played against Calgary 4-1. Again, that was the season opener. And if they do it before, they could do it again. Especially the way Calgary's been, there's no doubt we should beat that team. But then again, I said that against the Blue Jackets, and I'm still regretting that bet. I think for those two games, it's a back-to-back. I don't think they're going to have Niemi go both games again like they did before. But I think they have Niemi in Vancouver, and then they have Greitz in Calgary. That is my opinion. And if so, if they do that, then I am a freaking genius. So that'll be the end of the show today, guys. Closing out of 26 minutes. If you remember, guys, just keep the show going, keep watching, keep listening, keep spreading the word out. Have other people listen to this. Keep the word out, and try to get me up there. I'm still trying to get to the top 10. It's very, very, very hard. So other than that, guys, thank you guys for listening, and I'll be seeing you guys Friday with the week recap for the Barry Sports.